Good morning, church. I bring greetings from Chande in Kitwe, Zambia, where very soon Dr. Day and RN Kaufmans will be serving with their families. I've been following the collegiate's, you know, progress and the life of obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ for the past years, and I've seen how the Lord has been so gracious as you have obediently followed him. It is a blessing to see where you are today. Many years back, I've seen people rise from the ranks of ordinary men into becoming members of staff who are now pastoring in this church because of the wonderful discipleship program and the obedience that you have for the word of God. It's good to see these men now serving and ministering to so many people, not only here in Casper, Wyoming, but also to the other parts of the world. It's a blessing. Pastor Mike is a good man, and I'm not saying this because I'm here in his church. Even when I'm back home, that's the same thing I say. Very humble. A man who's always breaking in tears for the lostness of humankind. I'm so blessed and overwhelmed this morning as I look across the auditorium here to see this great man, Toby, and his wife traveling from very far to come and be in this service. Just this past month, we had Toby and Carrie Ann, his daughter, and Sherry, the wife, and two others from that family come from Lakeshore Baptist Church to share in a vision of providing Bascos to pastors in Africa. Carrie, from this church, young as she was, heard me speak and present the need for pastors to have Bascos. And she carried it in her heart. Many times back in Africa, we don't care about children. We send them away. Get away. You are making noise. But here is Carrie in church, got that message, and God put it in her heart, a seed, and it was growing. I was amazed one day when she called me and said, "Hey, Pastor Chanda, would I use your words that you used on your message?" I said, "What words? My words?" Said, "Yes. You said, believe in God, have faith, move on." I said, "Carrie, those are not my words. That is the word of God. Many men of God have used those words. Go ahead and use them." And then she said, "I want to follow on with providing Bascos to pastors in Congo." And I want to say that we started networking there. And just this last month, they had raised 60 Bascos that were distributed to pastors in Zambia and Congo. One of the men going back home with a bike met some people and asked him, "Hey, where are you coming from?" And this man said, "I'm coming from, you know, the ministry where we have been provided with these tools, the Bascos to use to plant churches and do discipleship." And this person said, "Man, we've been waiting for a long time for somebody to come to our village and start a church. Would you come over?" And this man was so excited, he said, "I'll come." And he called me. I never hesitated to go to see that man, encourage him to go to that village and start a church. So even on the way going back to take these Bascos, a church is being planted. And we just thank God. And it all rooted from here. I wrote to Pastor Mike about it and I said, "I just thank God for the ministry that God has placed before you. And I thank you people of College Heights Baptist Church for the support that you have given to Pastor Mike and his family and also the staff of this great church." I say great church because you are a mission-minded church. You are a church that is loving. And I just want to pray that you continue to love the Days and the Kaufmans as they come to Zambia. Your prayers are very much needed and your support. Remember them always. It's not easy out there. You know that they are leaving the comfortable zone, going out. Those that have gone out into missions, they will tell you how difficult it is. How sometimes they can be trapped going to a pit latrine toilet and, you know, because Americans are always big people most of the times. And when I want to buy clothes in America, I've got difficulty finding my size because I'm skinny and the big people here and I find big sizes. But, you know, it's not comfortable out there, that's what I'm saying. They will need your daily prayers. They will need your financial support. They will need you to just remember them and drop them in no time and again. Not only to this, even to the doctors, they go to serve in Congo. It's not easy. It's not easy. It is only God to serve and work in Congo. We were ministering in Pweto, and we went to Kakonona village, where the people called us there and said, come start a church. We were at this village, people gathered, wanting to hear the gospel. And then another man came by with a motorbike and said, over at my church, I mean my village, we need a church and nobody has come there. And then the people told us, are you just going to give us a piecemeal message and leave? We have had people come and tell us about Jesus and they have left. We need people with a commitment, people that will stay here and teach us and see us grow and disciple us. What a challenge. And as we moved around that village, people would just gather. They would see us, they would bring chairs, and we would sit there and begin ministering. Here's Big Randy moving around. There was this boy who was trained as a child soldier, coming, dancing, and disturbing the people. That's the demon, the devil in him, just trying to disturb the thing that we are doing. And God is mighty, and God is in control. He speaks to Randy, and this boy is moving to the next village where we are going, and making noise, and you know, disturbing the people. And Big Randy gets out of the car, moves along behind that boy, and he takes his Bible as a whip, and he hits him hard on the buttocks. Stop this in the name of Jesus. And the boy runs away. And from that moment, he's quiet and is now listening. This is a bulk, you know, muscular Randy. And he ministered there. Sometimes people think people go for holiday. It's work. And we are battling with the devil out there. Today, so overwhelmed. Quietly, I'm crying because what I'm seeing is God's fulfillment. 19 years ago, God gave me a vision. And in it, he said, this is the place where many people plug in to go and witness to the Lord so that people can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I'm very thankful that you and many other churches that have supported the Chande Ministries have been very faithful. And I know that you will continue being faithful. Jesus, ministering as he came along, John the Baptist was in prison at this time. And some of the disciples that followed John were, you know, handed over to Jesus because John said, follow him. And they followed Jesus. Then they knew the threats of the Pharisees. And they were worried about these people around them. And in that worry, you know, we are all worried people. We worry about so many things. We worry about what we're going to eat tomorrow. We worry about what kind of education our children will receive if we follow God and trust him totally. We worry about so many things. But God is aware and he knows. And Jesus stands to his disciples and he tells them, according to the book of Mark chapter 1, verse 15, let me begin from verse 14. Jesus says, the Bible reads, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That's the message. But as they listen, the disciples are concerned. They are worried. And I want to look at that and bring it into our perspective today. That sometimes we are hindered to do God's work because we worry so much. I worried so much when God called me to pastoral ministry many years ago. I grew up wanting certain things that I saw my friends have, which my father could not afford. And I made a promise to myself that I would be the best father and provide the best to my children. I found a good job, I did good trainings, and there I was. And I was now on the road to provide for my children. And God said, turn around. I said, no. I said, surrender, total surrender. I said, part-time, I said, no, total. What does this mean? I have to go prepare, go to seminary. Who's going to pay my way? How am I going to get my insurance and all those kind of things? But God is in control. That's what I'm trying to say and put across. I worried so much about my children. I worried so much about my health. I worried so much about my future. How am I going to live? Who's going to be there to support me and help me? I'm alone. My father says, I never sent you to school to do this. You get nothing out of the church. You can't live for the church. And he was right, because where I come from, I saw the pastor's wife exchanging empty soda bottles to make food, to go and sell, buy food for them to eat. And I was looking at that kind of life. Is this the life God is calling me to? I was so much worried and afraid. I feared so much. And many times fear limits us to do the great that God has put in us. I want us to remember. And Jesus is trying to tell his disciples that fear not. Why are you worried so much about these things? You know, disciples worrying about things around them. Jesus is thinking about the birds. And he said, look at the birds of the air. They do not work. They do not cultivate or plow. But yet I clothe them and I feed them. I provide for them. Are you not more important than the birds? You are. You are made in the image of God. And God's word is sure. And God says, what he says is what it is. You better take him for his word. And when God says, come, you better totally surrender yourself to him because you are in his hands. He is in control. We worry so much, many times. Time is a big factor in America, and I think in Europe, probably. Not in Africa, where I come from. And I just learned about a week ago that not in an African black church. They told me if they go to church, time is just there for them until they are, you know, they've worshipped. But not in this Anglo-Saxon places where I've been, time is very important. You know, in fact, I was in a church one time when I was preaching, and when I thought I was on the, you know, prime of my message, somebody pushes a note to me and says, time up. And I get so disturbed. And anyway, we have to go on. Time is very important. God is the one who made time. You know, there's a word, chronos. The events flowing, you know, the day, the night, the following day, 3, 4, 5 days, a week, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. There we go, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. God is in control. The sun rises, the sun sets. And everything is in control. That's chronos. And there's nothing that we do about it. It is in God's control. And then there is the kairos. When it says that the time has come, it is now something about my life. Something that takes place, an event in my life that will change me. Now, chronos and kairos, these two are always positive or negative. They will never be neutral. So you have always to, they will impact your life and change your life. And it depends where you are. If positive, you will be developing positively and becoming a good person for God to use. Negatively, you'd be anything else. But you see, whatever happens to us changes us. And this leaves a mark in our lives. Those people that are being touched today in Congo, those pastors, it's because somebody, God tapped on him and said, I want you to turn around and move this direction. We cannot reach the Tawa people as we want to. Because they will run away from you. By your appearing, they will go hiding. They will hide, and then your life is at stake because they can attack you. They know how to hide, camouflage. And when they withdraw from you, you do not know where they are. You saw a group of people maybe making a meal, and all of a sudden there's nobody. You just see fire, you know, billowing, and the smoke billowing there, but there are no people. They've gone into hiding. But they are watching you. They are seeing every step. They don't trust anybody. They've suffered so much. The time has come for them to hear the gospel. And I'm blessed today to see that God, again, has made a connection for people who directly be there. IMB has been doing some research for years. Yes, indeed, I was with Pastor Reverend Miller when the IMB asked us to mark and map, you know, where these people are. We did that, and we were going to do what we called the Zambia-Congo Border Ministries. And the devil came in and blocked it that time, but God knew the time is coming, and the time is now. This is the right time. And I thank God for this. So as we think through these kind of things, I'm always saying that, you know, the chronos and the kairos will leave an impact on your life depending on where you are. These will signal an opportunity for spiritual and emotional growth. Kairos and chronos, the time. When the time has come, there's nothing that you can do. The kingdom of God is at hand. Yes, indeed it is. Closer today than when these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. We have known the situation around the Middle East. We know the fighting, the killings there. You know, people wired, and they don't care to kill thousands in churches, Christian churches being bombed, and people are dying every day. Hatred everywhere, and there's no peace. But I was also privileged to be there this last year, thank God, for some of you that blessed me in that, and able to walk where Jesus Christ walked, and able to go to a place that will be the end of the world, and just to see where King David would go and find the brook where he can drink water from and know that this is Megiddo. And at Megiddo, you know, you have heard of the last war, the world's greatest war that is going to come, which is called Armageddon in the book of Revelation. I was in that place and know life started here as we know it, and then life is going to end there. I was privileged to walk into the waters of the Dead Sea and be sorted, put water into my eyes accidentally, and I couldn't see, blinking, and I needed people around me to help me. And thank God somebody noticed that I was having problems, I couldn't see. And they came, went out, drew, got water, fresh water, and poured into my eyes, and immediately I was able to see. Thank God for the supportive group that we have. And I'm very thankful for this supportive group in this church that is always there to pray for our missionaries, to pray for mission trips, and to support and finance these ministries. Jesus came all the way from heaven to come and minister to our needs. If he did not leave that comfortable zone because it was so good to be with the Father, we would not have salvation. He would not be here today, and we would not be hearing this message. He had to leave, and it was not easy. There were dangers. In fact, he came and he died for you and for me. And because he died, you and I have salvation. We have eternal life we can boast of. And we have also to empty ourselves. How? By praying for those that are ready to go. We must empty ourselves by giving out. The disciples and John the Baptist, as they went on preaching, you know, John the Baptist was preaching, "Repent, you brood of vipers." And those Pharisees and the soldiers and people around them asked, "What do you want us to do?" And John the Baptist tells them, that is before Christ coming. This is the baptism, the repentance of baptism. But he's coming with the repentance of fire and all this kind of stuff. But he tells them that those of you that have got two coats to share, and those of you, you know, that have got things around and the other people do not have, give. Change your ways. Repent. Do not just hear about it. Be people who are doing it. Be pragmatic. Don't just listen to the word of God and be idle. Do not just look at the four corners of the church and be comfortable there. You can do all these kinds of things in church, Sunday school and all that, teach and preach. But at a certain given moment, you know, when God touches your heart, says move, you better move. Trust and believe the word of God. What does it mean to believe? It simply means to know that what God says is truth and it's coming to pass. That's the word of God. So what I hear God speaking, I better put it in practice, not just in word. Let us not be hypocritical. Let us be pragmatic. Let us be a people that are ready to be used as instruments of God. You are so wonderful that sometimes, you know, I sit down and I don't know what do they want to hear, these people, because you are already almost there. But I know there are certain traits inside us, those that betray us, fear sometimes. We are caught up in fear, and fear destroys that potential that God has put in us. Every one of us is properly equipped for ministry. If you have not gone, not because you have not been equipped, but either you have been gripped with fear. The devil will, you know, put a wedge of fear in you and destroy the potential that is in you. Your prayer must always be, "Lord, command, and I'm ready at your disposal to be used of you as you would want." But the devil will never let you alone. Just about a few months ago, after a month or so after my wife passed on, I sent all my children away because they couldn't just stand looking at the house and an empty house every day they come home. I would look at them and their tears. And I said, it's best for me to send them away. So I sent them with their sister to go to South Africa where I think they can recoup and come back refreshed. They were worried about me. I was worried about them. Worry is something that we carry every day. I said, how are you going to remain here, Daddy, alone? I said, don't worry, Christ is with me. I was very strong, and I thought I can stand it. People in the church were concerned and worried. Pastor, how can you live alone this, you know, trying moments? I said, it's okay. I'm a big man. I'll stand it. But one night, things fell apart. I was broken. The devil found a righteous moment. He put a wedge on my faith and almost destroyed me. That night I felt I'm better dead than living. That time I felt I shouldn't even be preaching the gospel. That day I felt I shouldn't even do anything. Oh, where's my wife? Where's this sweet partner that has been with me through all these years? And it was an empty house. Couldn't hold myself. I said, I'm better dead. And I broke down. I don't know what I did. Maybe I text or something. I wanted to talk to somebody. And Eddie called and said, what's the problem, brother? I said, I'm struggling here. I've lost it. I can't stand it. Can't stand the children back there, the people out there. And he said, hey, God is in control. He helped me, pulled me up, wiped my tears, prayed together. I was strengthened. We need one another. We need to strengthen one another. There are times in Africa when Ed was down and I'd pull him up. There are times when I was down. Sometimes I would just err and go off from the Lord, and he would come and say, brother, you're not walking right. This is not the way. Let us pray. Man, we came to that trusted level that I wouldn't hide anything from him. I was so transparent that he was so transparent. One time I was owing people a lot of money. And I didn't want him to know. I don't want people to know about my life. I want to solve those problems myself. But he would look at me and he knew something was not right. But I pretended I was smiling and my beautiful smile. Everything's fine. But he looked at me and said, something's not right. I said, everything's okay. And then he saw these two people come, a lady and a man. And I wanted to keep it away from him because I didn't want him to be involved. His spiritual gift is mercy. And he must be protected. I'm a prophetic person. I always cut people and they hate me. They always want to squeeze me. But he's the kind of person that would always pull out everything that he has got and remain without. So I didn't want him to be part of this. I'm going to solve it. I started this problem and it is me to solve it. But it was too big for me at that time. And he would look at me and say, who are these people? I said, no, these are just my friends. Okay, let us speak in the native language. So I spoke to those people in a language you couldn't understand, Kaonde, because Bemba knew he might pick something. But he was able to tell something was not right. At the end of the day, he said, what's the problem? You are in trouble. I said, no, I'm not in trouble. And I said, okay, everything. So he said, you are in trouble. What is it? Then finally, I had to share. I said, well, you know, I got that big truck staying at my house. I didn't pay everything, and they've come for the money. I said, how much? And it was a huge amount of money beyond my income. And I didn't want him to know, so I was embarrassed. So I said, no, it's not something for you to worry about. I will deal with them. He said, well, how much is it? And finally, you know, we talked it over. It was 5 million. And he said, okay, come with me. Hey, he told those two people, come. We got into his car. I don't know where we are going. I said, I've screwed it up for this man. I didn't want him to be part of this. But we went. He went into the bank, came back with 5 million and gave these people, said, sign the papers, it's finished. And then these people went. And then he turned to me and said, I don't want you to carry a burden with you. I want you to be free as you minister. So I have to just to come in and help you. That's accountability. When we work together, we are strengthened. Not taking advantage of one another, but building one another up. And that's what it is about believing in God and trusting him and following him. I told Charles yesterday, I said, you know, the fears around us sometimes keep us from going to save God. You know, it's like a parachuter. You are up there in the air, and then the time now comes for you to jump. I told him, I can't jump, because when I look down there, man, suppose it doesn't open that thing, then I'm done. My, I'll crash like something like a, oh no, I don't want that kind of thing to happen. When we are coming from, just coming to land at a filling place in off of the coast of Africa, and this plane was almost going down. Everybody lost it. Even the air hostesses, everybody was crying. There was a woman sitting beside me. She married me immediately. And the thing went down. And I said, Jesus, this is it today. I'm ready. And, you know, people, hey, where we are going? You know, you are afraid. But, you know, if you know Jesus is there, he always says, I'll be there for you. Even before you get there, I'm there. I'll always be with you. Don't fear. What am I going to feed? What am I going to wear? How am I going to keep up with the marine and mosquitoes? I'm there, I'm God, and I will take care of you. What about the boob traps? What about all this? And God says, I'm there for you. Trust me by my word. I have promised, and I'm God. I'm not man who can lie. I am God, and I will go. I'm going to fulfill it for you. This is the God I know. This is the God I work for. This is the God I trust, and this is the God I challenge you to follow, as you have done in the past. Some of you there are still lost in thought and worry. I want you to know he's a mighty saving God. Many times this man has been at the point of death, and doctors have said, how can you live with all this kind of bacteria in your body? And he says, God said, you can't believe it that you're still living. He has gone several times, had a lot of surgeries, back surgeries, metal in his body, and he still goes out. You break, don't go out. He still goes into these rural roads, and God has protected him. Thank God he's back in America today, and he can be with his grandchildren and his children. God is faithful. But if it means that's where he wants you to end your life, then that's all right. That's okay. Trust him. This is not our home. We have a home beyond. The time has come. The time has come for the medical clinic. The time has come also in our own situation for sending missionaries. The time has come for collegiates now, on a very big testing time of supporting them. You know, some people say, it's not about me. Why did he leave everything that he was doing? It's about himself. God will take care of him. No, God will not take care of anybody, but through you and me, we need to support those that have been called to God's ministry. And God will bless you. The more you pour yourself out, the more God will fill you in. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Don't you worry. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, the Bible says, will be given unto you. God bless you. I'll be praying, and after that, Pastor Mike, you come and close up. Let's pray. Gracious Father, teach us to obey you. Help us to know what it means to repent. That it means to turn away in a total change of heart, to just move where you want us to be, a change of mind. Real repentance, Heavenly Father, is not only to be sorry for the consequences of the sin that we've committed, but to hate sin in totality. To believe the gospel is just to believe that Jesus' word is true. To believe in the good news simply means to take Jesus at his word. Help us, Lord, to take you by your word. When you say, I'm there, help us to believe. May God the Holy Spirit undertake for us. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, I pray. Amen.